welcome to the podcast. Coming to you from the Midwest Coast. I'm inside that miraculous establishment, the Midwest Healing Center, Leg of the Ozarks Podcast, Studio B. This is the New Old School Podcast. I'm your host, Don Allen. Tell somebody about the podcast. It's all free. You know you can download any of these free apps to any mobile device. Podbean, Google Play, Apple Podcasts, iTunes Store, Spotify, every single one of those are free. And in doing so, you know you're going to be joining the thousands upon thousands listening every week from all over this blue marble planet. Let's see what we got. You know, USA number one. We got the Philippines that have moved into the number two slot right above Australia. Nigeria, Latvia, Singapore, Canada, Jamaica. We got the UK, South Africa, Spain, Namibia, New Zealand, Ukraine, France, Ghana, Hong Kong, Kenya, Netherlands, and Norwegians. We got the Norwegians on the board. And I tell you what, I just want to thank you all so much for helping to spread the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ worldwide. So, quick update. There will be no new podcast coming out next week, as I will be out of town for about 10 days. Actually, I will be outside of the continental United States for about 10 days. So when I get back, we'll see what direction God would have us to go. But today I want to encourage you to do with what you got. Let me talk to you about this today. I know how this goes. We can see others, ministers, believers. We can see others and how they operate in the spirit, maybe the moves of God that they seem to have, how they can speak and minister to others, how they minister to us, and respect that. We can see that, and we appreciate that. And human nature would be, wow, I would kind of like to be like that. You know, I mean, we see the results, and I'm not just talking about for numbers' sake, like where they can draw a crowd. Those that we truly respect that have ministered to us and spoken into our lives and have some influence in there. And we can look at that and be like, wow, you know, and have that desire on the inside and appreciate it. And at the same time we say, but you know, I don't have that, right? It's comparisons. They got this and they got that and they do this and they do that. And honestly, none of that is me. I'm here to encourage you today to do what you can with what you got. So there are times that some will have what we say a mantle passed to you, okay? We see that with Elijah and Elisha, right? He was there. He served the man of God, and because of his faithfulness and the position, he was able to receive that mantle passed down to him. We know that mantle was truly just a type of Holy Spirit that came upon them, but my point is, I know in my life, it didn't feel like I had those connections. Like I hear many talking about today, even those that we call the generals of faith, okay? This was something that always just kind of bothered me, you know? I mean, I love all these guys. Like, I watch many of these guys and love them, appreciate them, kind of want to be like them, to be honest. And yet, I don't have... So, for instance, Rod Parsley talks a lot about Lester Summerall passing something to him. Mike Francine traveled with T.L. Osborne. Lester Summerall talked about Smith Wigglesworth talking to him before he died. Robert Morris, pastor of Gateway Church, talks about James Robertson, Oral Roberts and his son Richard Roberts, Franklin Graham and his father Billy Graham. Of those whose fathers were pastors or ministers before them and the sons took over for their fathers and on and on. And so when we hear of those who pass something on, much like that mantle, but what do we do when that doesn't take place in my life? Because if you're like me, I had a whole bunch of stuff that I didn't want passed down to me. I didn't have those shining examples in my personal life of those that were bringing me up, let's say. My father was an amazing minister of God who believed in healing. That was my first experience with truly seeing supernatural healing, miracles, was my father, and he cheated on my mother at the height of his ministry and lost it all. I didn't want any of that passed down to me. My father-in-law worked against our ministry for years on end, stood against us, not just us. I mean, a lot of people, okay? and stood against us because he wanted our ministry under his ministry, and we refused to do that, so I didn't get anything passed on there. But others, it would seem like those, are the ones that had this advantage to be able to move forward in success with the call of God upon their lives. I'm just talking about those that it seems like they were given something that I don't have. From these great generals that we talk about, or these great influences in their lives, they were giving something, and so how do I succeed and move forward in the calling and the giftings of God in my life? And God said to me, do with what you got. Starts by recognizing, for one, well, what do you have? And two, recognizing the power and the anointing of God and how that can take what you do have and make it very powerful. And I know this has kind of become a little saying, but it is the truth. Little is much when God is in it. I think of Moses. Here's a guy whose life did not start out the way that you would want it to. Given up by his family so that he could live and not die. That's a rough start. Put in a basket. And now sent downstream and gets picked up and ended up in Pharaoh's house. But as his life goes, and I would imagine some of you too, no matter where you ended up, that call of God was still messing with you, right? He knew, he had that pull towards, these are my people, the ones that are being oppressed, right? And inside you want to be the champion for them. And I think that's many of us, you know, this, no matter where we ended up, there's still this thing that always is pulling on me. In Exodus 2, we see Moses running from the call of God out of fear and feeling inadequate. We know he's starting to recognize there's a call upon his life for these people. And he sees that man whipping one of his, and he killed that man, and he runs. And we know that for 40 years, he's on the backside of a desert. 40 years having to deal with those same feelings of, what is this? What happened? What am I to do? I have no influence here. And so what of you who have somewhat done the same? At one time you knew there was a calling and something happened, and now you think, you know, maybe I'm no longer qualified to do for God what I once thought I would do. I think Moses had to feel that way, you know, knowing that was in him. Something took place. He takes off. He feels like he's failed. How am I ever going to get back? 40 years. 40 years is a long time, people. 40 days is a long time. So I'm no longer qualified to do for God what I once thought I would do. I want you to notice one thing right away. The Bible says the calling of God is without repentance, meaning God never takes back his calling and his plans and his purposes for someone's life. But can any good come from a time in the wilderness? Well, if we look at Moses, and he started in the palace, where you would think, now here's a guy that has access to anything under the sun, and he was called by God. He made a mistake by the flesh, killing a man, and he ran from God for 40 years. But what did Moses find in that 40 years that he couldn't have found otherwise? He found a rod, a staff. He found that staff in his wilderness experience. There are some today who are in a wilderness experience that are feeling in this season that it is the time to come back, but you have to recognize your staff. What have you picked up along the way that you can use out of this time? What tools did I find in the backside of the wilderness? For some, a resolve, lessons learned. Some, that could be that holy type of an anger, maybe, a backbone. Listen, you need to look, because I'm telling you that you did find something that you didn't have before, because it was from there, he's with the two magicians, you remember, and they toss down the snakes, and God says, Moses, what do you got? Well, I have this staff, I have a stick. Yeah, take that and cast it down. What I'm saying is, see, once you take what you got and allow God to work with it, and you release it from your hand, it works. His snake swallowed up their snake, and we see that rod, that staff, make an appearance many times in the Bible, because he did with what he had. That staff would part the sea. That staff would strike a rock for water. And so you have to recognize right now that if I'm not one that had something passed down to me, what do I have? And how can God use that in my life? If I took my hands off of that control of holding on to the one thing that I feel like this is all I got, you know, what staff did I pick up along the way? Would I feel it adequate enough, what I have, that if I took my hands off of it and gave it to God, could he use that? I'm talking about some of y'all's testimony that you've been holding on to, that you've been through the backside of the wilderness. And you're thinking, what do I have to work with? And God is saying, I would love for you to release that testimony. That's just one example. David Slingshot, you think of this, he's rejected by his family. He's the one that's not even going to be called to the party to see who's the next king. He's placed on the backside of the farm with the sheep daily. He lives with them. But it was here he found something, a slingshot. Now here he is. All of his big brothers are in the army of God, right? They really got something going on. They got a name. They got something going on. They got something to brag about. So, hey, Davey, why don't you go take some food to your brothers who are actually doing something? And he shows up to see that all these guys are hiding behind the rocks. The armies that had all the latest weaponry of the day, all the education and the knowledge of warfare. David's over here with none of that. He's going to use real encounters with God to know him and his voice. And when it all came down to it, we know the king says, well, you know what? Here's the thing. You got to use what I always used. See, guys, we're always going to run into these, you're going to run into those once you show back up for a fight, okay? Once you come out and you start showing that, hey, I'm here, you're going to have those who used to have it trying to tell you how to do it, even though it's not currently working for them. So here, you have to use this. I mean, it used to win me a lot of battles, even though it's not working for me now, but here you have to do it. You have to do it the way that I did it. Use this armor. Use this weapon. I'm saying all that to say this. As much as you even might respect those people, don't fall for that. Guys, I dealt with this. Coming out of just nothingness and knowing the call of God upon my life and knowing that I was called, leaning towards healing, seeing healing and miraculous healing, you know, that was our we leaned that way. That was the pull that we had. And coming up out of that and having gone to Rhema Bible Training Center years ago and then being around all those ministers, and my father-in-law was the head of that over Missouri and Arkansas and on and on and on. Anyway, that point being, I was around many, many ministers that had been pastors or in ministry for some time. And I'm rolling up into this thing with this excitement and this thing. And it was getting called in the office constantly to have that conversation of you're not doing it right. You have to do it this way. Even though I'm looking at you saying that and I'm not seeing you getting any results out of it. I don't remember you ever getting any results out of what you're saying, and yet you're telling me I have to do it this way. And I'm saying don't fall for that, because that armor, it doesn't fit you. The models and the programs, and we did it this way and that way. Well, yes, at some point that was working, but if it was still working, then why isn't it working for you? Don't allow them to pawn off you onto you something old and outdated that's no longer working. God is looking to use you and the anointing that you have upon what he gave you to defeat giants. But it may very well not look like anything they used before. But David used what he had. And he was able to look upon past. And listen, here's the thing. It wasn't just that David was anointed to do it. David took that and honed that skill. He knew what he was doing, and God, of course, used it. But it wasn't just all God's just going to reach down and poke you on top of your head and something's going to happen. He had character traits that he was already using in being very good and diligent to learn how to use this tool. And then when that day came with the anointing upon it, he couldn't fail. And so I'm not saying that we just show up and say, well, God's going to do it. No, we got to put in our time. I studied healing. Boy, I studied healing. I read the Bible. I read the miracles. I studied. I dove into it. I read books and others' experiences. I mean, I really dove into that. And when the time came, of course, God was there. But it wouldn't look like anything they used before. David used what he had. He was able to look upon past victories that he had when nobody was around. Nobody saw him kill a lion or a bear, but he did. And many of you need to revisit some of your past victories that you had when it was just you and God. And it was enough. No, see, they won't say it's enough. It's too simple because they've taken the hard route to try to get to where they are, or maybe even had to go through all this stuff to actually get where they are. And they feel like you're skipping steps when the reality is, no, you've been practicing for years. You've been honing your skill. You've been praying. You've been interceding over this. You've been hurting over this for years. But they won't see that or understand that, and that's okay. Nobody saw you kill your lion or your bear, but you have. You got to go back and revisit some of those victories you had when it was just you and God. And then springboard from that and recognize what empowered you then. It was the power of God, and it was supernatural. And now you can look at that and what you do have and stop looking at what I don't have and realize I can't miss because God's anointing is upon me. And nothing more than a slingshot and a stone, but it's a guided missile in your hands. You have it. You need to use it. I think of the Apostle Paul. His clothing in Acts 19, 11, and 12. Now, let me say something about this, because there will be a danger in people saying that what you are doing is not of God at all, because we haven't ever seen that before. We haven't ever seen that before. We've never done that before. You know, we didn't teach that at school. We haven't. You know what? We don't even see Jesus doing this. Now, imagine being the Apostle Paul, and people are coming to you, and they're taking clothing from your body, and they're laying it on the sick, and evil spirits are coming out, and bodies are being cured. Well, now, hold on now. We never saw Jesus doing that. No, they got to come and pull on the hem of your garment, Paul. That's how we've always done it. They've got to come to you, and they've got to come to you. And see, that is that old model, isn't it? They've got to come to the church if they want to see something happen. And Paul's like, no, 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 look, what I got, I can give out. Well, this is how we've always done it. We don't have a doctrine of prayer cloth. My point is, we see Paul reported as for the first one in doing this method, and it worked. So don't ever allow someone to tell you that what God has said for you to do isn't right. We aren't trying to make doctrines. We're just listening to Holy Spirit. Do what you can with what you got. That story about Paul's handkerchiefs and aprons, I remember my first real experience with that. Now, I had mailed out handkerchiefs and aprons before, or handkerchiefs, and I'd seen that done before, and we believed in it. I believed in it. I knew it was biblical. I saw that in Acts 19. But I was in Kansas City, and I was hosting at that time one of my healing schools at a local fire station in Olathe, Kansas, just right across from Missouri border there. And this particular night, I had just bought, as a matter of fact, I have the shirt right here. I wish I could show you. It's still here. But I just bought a brand new shirt at the mall. I mean, like I'm putting it on in the car as I'm going to the fire station. And so I get in there and I'm ministering on this particular thing. And so there was a gentleman that was there that I knew. So he wasn't a stranger, but there was other people I didn't know. But he's sitting in the back and I think he was running. I think we were broadcasting it on Facebook at that time or some mode. I'm not sure if it was Facebook. It was some time back. But anyway, my point being, I knew this man. But in the middle of me preaching about handkerchiefs and aprons, this man walks up to me and he clicks open his knife walking down the aisle. And I'm like, what? Now, the people that probably didn't know that we knew each other probably got a little nervous. I wasn't nervous as much as I was very curious what is going on. I'm right in the middle of preaching and he walks up and he cuts the corner of my brand new shirt off. And I'm like, okay, well, that was a very good dramatic effect to my sermon. You want to explain why we're doing this? Well, he talked about a friend of his in Iowa that had a son that was born deaf in one ear. And so, and this was a, this wasn't a baby anymore. I think this child was now 6 years old, but he's still deaf in one ear. And so he said, I want to mail this to that buddy of mine. And so he did. He took that prayer cloth and he talked about Acts 19, or I say prayer cloth, the corner of my shirt that he cut off, my brand new shirt. So he took that and he mailed that to his friend up in Iowa with the instructions of Acts 19, 11, and 12. And so we get this report back that the man did that. He took that cloth and he held it in his hand when his son was in the bath and he walked in there and he just put it up against his head and said something about Acts 19, you know, handkerchiefs and aprons or whatever. And that boy's ear popped open. Healed of deafness. We can't always say, now, here's the issue with that. This is, I guess this was the fallout part that I want to talk about, is that then after I shared that testimony with those that know more than me, there was talk going around to me from other ministers that were above me at that time. That's a little strange because, you know, we can send out handkerchiefs, but you said he cut the corner of your shirt off? Well, now, wait a minute. Where in the Bible does it say I'm any different than the Apostle Paul? Matter of fact, it says we're really a lot alike. But that's what I'm saying, is they couldn't grasp that because that had never been their experience. And so because it wasn't their experience, they had a problem with it because they had never done it. Now, who are you to come up all of a sudden and you're going to get people healed by pieces of your shirt getting cut off? Doesn't that seem a bit prideful? It seems biblical. I'm just trying to tell you, these are some of the things you're going to run into, because for too long, you and I have looked at how everybody else is doing it. And again, I'm not talking about getting outside of biblical methods, not at all. That was absolutely a biblical method. But because they had never had a part of their shirt cut off, their name wasn't mentioned in the testimony, I suppose, of mailing out a handkerchief. Somewhere along the way, it bothered them. What about Peter's shadow? Now, because we're talking about what? Do with what you got. We can talk a lot about what you don't got. But friends, you got a lot. Peter's shadow. We see a man that was just wild, right? The one that Jesus is always rebuking, always having to reel him in. He's always got something to say about everything. And then he denies Jesus three times after saying, there's no way I would ever do that. And then he does. That'll thrust you into some places that you don't want to be, personally. And that's a reality for some of you, that you did it. And now you're paying the price for a decision you made, and you feel like you failed Jesus in some way. And so, no, I cannot do anything for him ever again. I have failed. Well, that's a lie. That's a lie of the devil. Peter denied him. And 50 short days later, he showed up in that upper room. And who took that balcony? When they were mocking everybody in the upper room and accusing them of being drunk, Peter, the mouthy one, steps up. Why? Because he's got a mouth. That same mouth that got him into trouble is the same mouth that led 3,000 men to Christ that day. You think about that. Do what you can with what you got. God grabbed a hold of his mouth that day and said, that's the tool you've been using. We're going to anoint it and use it for the good. So could you at some point think, well, I don't have any outward items like a staff or my clothing being anointed or some tool or something that God is telling me to use. So what do I do? Peter used his big mouth. And not only that, well, I don't have those tools, but what eventually took place is Peter's shadow fell upon them and they got healed. Now, some of you will walk so close with God that you'll be in the shadow of the Almighty. His shadow and your shadow will be so close that people will get set free, because they are one. Use what you got, people, because you're so close, you'll be one with him. Use your relationship with him. Out of nothing else, guys, I don't know about your doctrines. I don't know about if you can take a cloth from a man's body or just send out a handkerchief. I don't know if you could use a Kleenex. I don't know about this, that, and the other, but I know this. I know God, and I know that God is a healer. I know that God is a deliverer. I know that God loves people, and I know that God loves me. And you can take that and use what you got out of that relationship as a tool to get people set free. How about Jesus spitting at times? It's not a doctrine of the church or a very used practice, and yet Jesus would at times spit and make mud, or spit and touch them, and people were healed. How about the 70? No name, no fame. But the 70, what did they have? They had a name. And even the devils are subject to us in your name. They had a name. You have a name. So we have to get out of the mentality that I don't have. I don't have a building. I don't have cameras or a microphone or a place. I don't have money or backing or a diploma or education from XYZ School of Ministry. I don't have. No, you do have. You have Jesus. You have the calling upon your life because you are sons of the Almighty God. And the supernatural isn't something you do. The supernatural is who you are as sons of God. You have the anointing. You have the authorization. You have the commission to go forth and do, as John 14:12 says, the works and the greater works. Use words if necessary. And I need some finances. Well, then cast the nets, right? That's all these fishermen had, was nets. They weren't producing the fish, which is money to them. Jesus says, no, let's go back out. You don't need a bigger boat. You don't need a newer boat. You don't need the latest boat. Get those same old nets. But this time under the unction of my voice, cast them here now. Well, Jesus, that doesn't make any sense. I know. Just obey. Do you have an obedient heart to listen by faith? Then use what you got. And now suddenly abundance took place where they had just had lack. Friends, God is so ready to begin funding ministry just like yours. He is. But we all have to do with what we got. Well, all I got is an old net. Okay, great. Cast it. Cast it. Take that and cast that. And suddenly, this is what God is wanting to do for many of you. He wants to take that obedient, faith-filled heart towards God. That's something he can work with. And add your work to it. Faith without works is dead. And simply obey. And he's about to open up a net-breaking catch for some of you. But for some, it's just obedience. It's what you got. That's all I got. Well, obedience is better than sacrifice. As simple as something may seem to you, listen to this statement. Listen to it, because this comes without the flash, okay? No act of obedience is ordinary when done for the extraordinary purposes of God. His job is manifestation. Your job is obedience. And if that's all you got, then do with what you got. I can tell you, I'm a very obedient son. And that's what it started out with, friends. If God said do it, I jumped by faith. Didn't need or even want to know the details. Just do it. So if you're like me, and you didn't have the backing, the education, the family tree, the connections, no names to drop. Matter of fact, my family tree worked against me. No legacy to continue, none of that. At times been in the backside of the wilderness running. Other times my own mouth did the damage and put me in positions to be shunned by many. Other times just didn't seem like I had what I was seeing that everybody else was saying I needed to have. That's okay. What do you got? You got something. Moses had a stick. Paul had some clothing. Peter had a shadow and a big mouth. David just a slingshot and some rocks. Behind it all, what they had was God, and so do you. That's what takes anything you have and makes it work. It is God, and you have him. And he can take your hands, the hands of a believer, and make them powerful enough to heal the sick. He can take that mouth of yours and place a message in it to get people set free. It could just be your testimony. He can take your feet and lead them to places that no others would ever even dare to tread. So today, I just wanted to encourage you to use what you got. No, that's really it. Nothing deep. I just wanted to encourage you today to find something and stop waiting, trying to find the connections. I think you're already connected and authorized to use a name that's not like any other name. So drop a name. Who are you with? I'm with Jesus. And more importantly, he's with me. Friends, find your thing. Let it fly. That's all the time I have for today's podcast. Thank you for joining me on the New Old School Podcast. I'm your host, Don Allen. Hey, and you know I'm over here just using what I got so I can attempt the ridiculous and achieve the miraculous.